Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everybody and welcome to the Rugby Dungeon. Thank you for listening, thank you for subscribing and thank you for leaving reviews, whether it be on Twitter with a nice little tweet or on iTunes, which is far more important and gets us up charts. Talking of Twitter, I'm at Jay Beardmore. This podcast is at the Rugby Dungeon and of course there is the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the world's biggest rugby podcast, out every Monday without fail. All of these podcasts are supported by Leo Vegas. So, whilst we're on the topic, why don't you go to leovegas.com, have a look at the game of the week that me, Tim and Phil have predicted. We've all given our own individual scorelines. I do believe that Flats and Shanks have also given their individual scorelines. See what you think. And if you want to, why not have a go yourself? That's leovegas.com, supporting Rugby Union, i.e. Leicester Tigers, and more importantly, supporting Rugby Union podcasts. Well, importantly for us. Anyway, today's interview is with Nathan Catt. Hope you enjoy it.
Mate, today we had a little trip to Bristol, a few of us. Me, Ross Batty, Guy Mercer, Henry Thomas, just a little change of scenery. Traipsed about, tried some local delicacies. Merce took us to a builder's cafe, which is very nice. Tasty. Yeah, so we had a nice day actually.
What was that always the plan to go to a cafe?
Well, he's been going on about it for years. Apparently, he's been a few times. Mixed reception for who he's taking is.
Oh dear.
It's pretty greasy. So I think he's gone down with a few of the leaner boys, and they've kind of put their nose up at him. But he took a few front rows, so we were all pretty pleased.
Nice. Well, I mean, you say a few front rowers. I don't think there are a group of leaner front rowers in the entire Premiership, is there?
Well, mate, Max Leaf, he ruins it for all of us.
He is in ridiculous shape.
Yeah, I know. It annoys me, genuinely. He makes the rest of us look bad.
I'm not sure. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Is he the only front row that you know of who has a six-pack?
Yeah, Paul Darren Jones used to be pretty ripped.
Did he?
But other than that, yeah. I've not seen anyone. Yeah, he was in good shape.
So what was the trip to Bristol in aid of?
Mate, nothing particularly. We just kind of thought we'd change it up from sitting in Bath. Thought we'd go and have a look. I had to go and sort a suit out for a friend's wedding, so we were just kind of thought we'd all pop over, something different to do.
You're originally from Bristol, yeah?
Yeah, Bristol and Clevedon.
Was that where you started playing rugby?
I started in Clevedon. So Clevedon's is a funny one because it's closer to Bristol, but it's in Somerset, so you get quite a mixed variety of supporters is pretty much 50-50. Mm. So yeah, I started playing in Clevedon. They take it quite seriously at the senior school. So state school, so obviously, not as much as a lot of the other schools and kind of the area, but, you know, still reasonably seriously. Quite a few boys have come through and, you know, done quite well for a state school, not really too close to a Premiership club. So yeah, kind of got into it there. Tried to play football, miles too fat, miles too slow, so... getting pushed into rugby.
Did you ever play your club rugby in Bristol?
No, I didn't. I didn't play rugby at all when I lived in Bristol. I started playing when I went to Clevedon.
Oh right, yeah. Because I actually went to university in Bristol. The only reason I went to university in Bristol is I literally got up a tractor and I drew like a 100-plus mile radius from my house in North Wales. Like, right, I'm going to go there. And then the second thing was, it's got to have a Premiership rugby team. And at the time, Bristol were. So I played a little bit of club rugby in Bristol, and it is. The club rugby scene there is absolutely bizarre. There's a club there I used to play for called, I think it's Dings Crusaders. I played like two games for them. And it's a weird setup. They've got like four clubs, I want to say, all on the same playing field.
Yeah, I think I know what you mean. I think Dings is Dave Atwood's old rugby club.
Is it really?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it is. In and around that, done like a little bit of coaching. He might have even played there a couple of games.
Yeah, because
It's all pretty. They're all pretty close together.
Yeah, because you've got like Dings, Bishopston. There's a couple of others, and they're all literally on like this same field. And I can only assume that once upon a time they all have their own separate grounds, and they're all sold to make a Tesco's, and they all congregated back in this place.
It makes sense, mate.
So tell me about your standard sort of week then. It sounds like you've had a day off today, but what usually goes on at Bath in a day-to-day sort of basis?
So probably pretty similar to most other rugby clubs, to be honest. Monday's typical meetings, review, weight session, a bit of rugby for the boys that aren't too battered. Mm-hmm. And then there's quite a coffee culture because obviously a lot of the boys live in town.
Yeah.
So all the guys and socialise with each other, and you know, after training. Tuesday pretty similar, so probably either one or two rugby sessions with a weight session, and then again always some boys around if you want to come, you know, grab a tea or coffee, maybe a little bit of cake. Wednesday's day off, so whatever you want to make of that. Thursday's weight session, rugby, and then another rugby session in the afternoon, and Friday team run, play Saturday, Sunday off. So yeah, I imagine it's pretty similar to most other clubs.
Ah, nice. Well, so I've always had this impression of you of being a superbly strong prop. Now, it's not because of how you've played, although I will say that when you have played, it's been very impressive. It's because I was watching rugby, what's the roundup show on ITV? The Premiership roundup show.
The one done by Flats.
Well, yeah, it's a show with Flats on, and he does this thing, and apparently you guys have got some scrummaging powerometer thing, and he's demonstrating it, and he goes, the guy who's got the best score on here is Nathan Catt. Now, I took that as gospel until subsequently I've heard Flats say he is neutral on all rugby players except for Nathan Catt. So are you actually the strongest prop at Bath?
I'd probably say no. To be honest, we don't really use it very often. And also, Max O'Heath is like ridiculously strong, as are some of the other boys. I'm going to be honest and say that's probably Flats giving me a little bit of love there, because we've definitely not tested it.
I had that suspicion. It's like an uncle of mine said that he used to go to school with the old United keeper, Les Seeley, 20 years ago, and I've kept that for a long, long time until the disguise was ruined. Same thing again, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I mean, if you ask my mum, she might give you the same opinion. But I can't promise you. Yeah, to be honest, we've not tested it. I use it quite a bit. I've not seen some of the other players even use it, so they couldn't even give you a score.
So what do you actually use it for? And actually, just describe what it is first, because people are thinking, what on earth are we talking about?
So it's essentially a one-man scrum machine, and it'll give you a power score, so for your engage, and then a score for the constant pressure you put across. Mm-hmm. So I kind of use it for, I try and use it just for a little bit of technique, just so I can kind of I normally get one of the analysts to come record me doing it, so I can see kind of what it looks like for me to get a good scores, so I can get like the feel to how I look at it, just to almost to make it easier when I'm reviewing my own game against people, so I know what output I'm looking at and how it would look on the eye.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
So are you doing things like, okay, so when you've got an analyst there and he's filming you, are you looking at your body shape and you check and see if what you think is good technique is corresponding with good scores?
Yeah, exactly that. So all I'm looking at really is body shape, and then seeing how that transfers onto the scores, and if I'm going to maybe use it a little bit to try different, slightly different techniques, so I can see if I'm going to get a better score, and see again by looking at how it appears to the eye.
Oh, that's really interesting. So have you changed your technique at all to increase the score on that machine?
A little bit, but it's quite hard because with the new rules, well, they're not new anymore, well, they're 4 years old, but the way the rule changes affect it, there's a lot of pressure before the engage, so you can almost get really good at a scrum machine, but it's not similar to a game whatsoever, because you get really comfortable, but then you haven't got a tight head pushing back against you. Do you know what I mean? So it's almost, it's not negated, but you've got to take that into consideration.
So just explain that in a little bit more detail then. I mean, before what you were doing is you were hitting that machine. That was giving you your initial nudge, if you like. And then it was a power after that. Now, because you don't have the hit, you are just measuring, I guess, your power afterwards.
Essentially, there is still an engage, but you end up kind of, if you say, once you're in the scrum and you have to engage, you're 100%. Probably before it, you're around 50, because there's still a lot of jostling before. Do you know what I mean? Before that engage, on the bind, when both teams meet, everyone kind of pushes a little bit. Mm. So it's almost like you've got to take that into consideration. You can get in a lovely shape on a scrum machine because it's not pushing anything back, whereas you almost need to like push the scrum machine a little bit.
Yeah.
That kind of makes sense, but it's not quite the same feel. So nowadays, I think like 90% of the work you do needs to be against another live opposition, because I think you form bad habits otherwise.
Oh, I completely agree with that. As a group then, because, you know, in terms of opposition, I think you've probably got some of the best opposition because you've got one of the best propping groups maybe in the Premiership.
Yeah, I think we've got really good strength and depth. You know, we try and talk about our scrum sessions. We want to try and make them, you know, as hard as they're going to be in a game. Mm. I think we're kind of across the board managed to get a lot better. You know, we've obviously lost, Henry's been out for the season. We've lost Davy Wilson, so you know that's
course,
the two internationals at the start of the season, which we haven't had now, which has meant Max Laheve's had to kind of come across, and he's done unbelievably well, you know, from to learn how to play tight head, and what he's been doing it probably less than a year. It's unbelievable kind of the standard he's at now, and then you've still got, you know, Kane Newport and Sean Knight as well, so we've got really good strength and depth, and when Henry comes back, you know, it just kind of increases it as well. Loose head side as well, I think Nick Autorak, unbelievable. Yeah, last year struggled a little bit with injuries. This year, and Benno Ibarno, I think he's going to be, I think he could be really a star. He's so strong.
Yeah.
So yeah, got a lot of strength and depth.
Now, I never understand this. Okay, I don't understand why more props don't move across. Not because I think it's similar. I know it's a lot more difficult. But in terms of just, you know, negotiating your next contract, surely putting your hand up and say, "Yeah, look, I can do both loose and tight," should be massively beneficial.
I think the problem comes loose heads would struggle to get a tight head. You need to be a lot stronger and probably quite a lot bigger. Believe me, mate, if I could push over there and get some of their contracts, I'd be straight. The reason Max Leaves gone that way. So I think it's probably easier for a tight head to come to loose head.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's not as hard to play loose head. There's a lot less demand. You're not getting attacked by two people. Mm. Whereas loose head, I think it's easier to be to a decent standard.
Yeah.
There's not too many really, really good tight heads. Whereas I think that the loose stand is probably a bit higher because it's so hard to do.
See, I think even regardless of that, I think I would try and pick an easy game, a so-called easy game, to have a quick go at tight head. Get it on video, get it on my CV. And then when negotiations come up next time, you can say, look, I'm worth loose head money. Sure, got that. Not quite tight head money, but let's meet in the middle somewhere.
See, mate, I tried to do it playing for Newbury. Well, I didn't try and do it. Basically, the tight head got injured, and it was fancy going across, and it was either that or we weren't uncontested. So I went across. First scrum, I ended up with my genitals on the back of the loose head. So I was like, "Yeah, probably not for me this."
Oh, really?
To what you know.
Yeah.
So it's a baptism of fire, to be fair.
So just in terms of props, then, in terms of groups of props, do you think there's anyone else in the Premiership that rivals you guys in terms of just sheer depth?
Yeah, I think Leicester have got. Oh, to be fair, mate, there's quite a few. Leicester have got a lot of strength and depth. Surrey, mate, a lot of the clubs have got a lot of good strength and depth, to be fair. I think you need it. I don't think you can get away with the days of just keeping your front row on the field for 80 minutes every week. I think they'll probably crumble after a little while. I think just the amount of force that goes into it, they'd be doing pretty well. I know there's guys that do put a lot of minutes in. I think you're probably better off having a bench that can kind of make a big impact, and then even probably you need a good third set of props. I'm only saying this, mate, just because I'm just trying to keep the value of us front row boys up.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you need lots of you, and you need to all be paid very, very well. I think we can both agree on that.
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I always think of yourselves and Northampton as two teams of having a load of depth in the front row.
Yeah. Northampton. I mean, they've got again. Like kind of we did start of the season, two international tight heads. Alex Waller's been doing unbelievably there for a while. They obviously had Corbs there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Ethan Waller. So yeah, they've got a lot of strength and depth as well. Maybe I think we could go through quite a few clubs with that kind of strength and depth. Particularly, you know, as I said, Leicester, they've got Ayerza, Rizzo, Genge, Cole, Balmain, Bateman. You know, all of these are good operators. There's no easy games. There's no easy first front row boys. It doesn't matter who we're playing. You know that other team's going to have a good scrum and it's going to be a hard day.
Mm. Yeah, completely agree. Well, just moving on slightly then, what has the season been like this year at Bath? Because it's been a bit of a strange one for you. You started the season under Toby Booth, who was very much in a transitional role following everything that went on last year. And then you had a director of rugby come in, I want to say maybe two or three games into the season.
Yeah, it was a bit bizarre. We sat down at the end of the year, at the kind of start of this season. Like, a few of us guys sat down, had a chat, and we just kind of said, look, lads, this goes one of two ways. We either kind of sulk a bit, you know, kind of see what's happening, make some excuses, or we kind of dig in, see what happens, see kind of what... We didn't know which coaches we had at this point. See what happens coaching-wise. And we just crack on with it and just kind of try our hardest, get ourselves out of, you know, a bad situation. Coaches come in, they've been unbelievable, really positive. You know, and we ended up starting off the season really well. You know, picked up, I think it was, we won six or seven games.
Yeah.
And then you just faltered a little bit in the middle period. And then we've kind of just been a little bit seesawy since then.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been a strange season. I think if we'd have said at the start of the season, we'll be fourth place with five games to go. I think we'd have taken that, whereas now I think, you know, we've done well, seesawed. I think the boys can really push on now.
Yeah, I mean, you are looking in, you know, as a very heavy favourite, actually, to take that fourth position, though, which I don't think anyone would have predicted that at the start of the season, not because of the quality of the squad, but because it's such a big upheaval to go from one set of coaches to the next.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's kind of, as I was saying a minute ago, you know, we'd have taken where we are now, but I think because we started so strongly, I think if we were to finish outside the top four now, I feel like it would be a failure for us. Mm. And I think we've done well. I didn't want to make excuses, but we've had, you know, a few injuries, and we're starting to now get these boys back, which, to be fair, are most of our international players. So hopefully, you know, they can kind of bring some momentum, bring some of that class that they've got, and we'll see how it unfolds. But yeah, no, I feel positive, and I know that the boys feel pretty positive and excited about the end of the year.
Now, do you know when you're playing under a certain DOR and then that DOR disappears? Particularly in your case, where you were doing your pre-season, were you guys all just kind of training, knowing and using the moves and the processes that were set up by the previous regime? Or were you just trying to focus on things which were slightly more generic, because you knew a change of regime was going to come in and you had to learn something completely different anyway?
No, so we still had Boothie, we still had Darren Edwards,
yeah,
Barry Maddox, you know, so we still had quite a bit of the coaching team. So we stuck with a lot of the things we've been working on. And then obviously Todd and Tabs have come in and they've just kind of stuck to it as well and just slowly started kind of adjusting what we've been doing. You know, they haven't come in and said, right, get rid of this, kind of rip your playbooks up. We're going with this brand new plan. They've just kind of come in, tweaked here, there, and just kept that tweaking going. And eventually, hopefully, we'll end up in kind of what they're looking to get us to. But I think, yeah, as we said, kind of, it'd be tough to start a season completely with a new game plan. I think we just probably struggled. So I think I think it was clever to come in and, as I say, kind of let us go with what we knew and then make these.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Slight or make these little adaptations kind of on the run.
And what are the sort of adaptations that you're starting to see now? Because obviously they've bedded in quite well.
Yeah, so kind of the attack philosophy they've got in terms of where they're putting our players, trying to conserve some energy for the bigger lads, try and keep them around the middle, and then defensively, just kind of the philosophies and the techniques that those guys have brought as well.
I've got to say, as a man, Todd Blackadder seems mighty impressive. What is he like to work with?
Yeah, mate, he's just a bloody good bloke. He's got so much time for the boys. As soon as they came in, the pair of them knew every single player in the squad. You know, the academy boys, they even knew half the partners' names. So
really?
That kind of, it was actually kind of, it was unbelievable. You know, you'd meet them in town or whatever with your partner and they'd say hello to you, hello to Sabrina. Yeah, I was genuinely like, wow, these guys, they just really, really care. I think that's kind of half the battle, is that they just want you to get better as people. They obviously want you to work hard, but you know, providing you kind of give everything, those guys will just keep giving back to you.
That is incredible, actually. I mean, I knew they had a lot of detail involved in their planning and in the build-up to taking over the squad, because I think they watched something like 40-odd games before taking over.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't factual, I might be making it up, but someone else, it rings a bell that someone said Todd had watched our previous 2 or 3 years' worth of games before arriving here, which is, you know, that's not going to be any time quick.
That is pretty impressive. Now, just quickly, I've heard a small story. Have you ever given a Lions job to anyone?
I knew you were going to speak to... But, mate, when you said, I'm just going to ring flats and get someone, I was like, oh, for God's sake, I know where this is going to go. Right, come on then. Do you want me to tell the story, do you?
Absolutely, I do.
Right, I'm not going to name the chap who it was, but there was a guy that worked for the club as a kit man. And we used to play a little few practical jokes. And one day I called him up and offered him the Lions kit man role and got a good couple of quotes off him. Couple of times I had to put the phone down because I was laughing too hard. A couple of tears in the eyes. Eventually, you know, came clean with him. He wasn't too happy, but that's rugby, isn't it? Can't be as gullible as that.
Who did you say you were? Because you sound fairly, you know, you sound fairly unique to me. You got quite a recognisable voice.
Strong Bristolian accent or Somerset accent.
Yeah.
Who did I say I was? One of the lads knew, I think it was the Scotland kit man, had something to do with the Lions, so we were this chap. I can't remember his name. And yeah, it worked perfectly. Pretty much within 30 seconds, we were hook, line and sinker. Sending him around the world on Nigerian Airlines, I think it was. So yeah, we had him pretty well.
Nice.
It was one of my favourites, to be fair.
And what's your sales pitch? That, oh, the Scottish guy's pulled out. We need someone with a lot of experience quickly. You need to book some tickets.
Pretty much. I think the Scottish kit man had done it previously, so I think he needed an assistant.
Mm.
I think the man, our kit man, had made the cut for being the assistant kit man. I felt a bit bad, but not bad enough to not do it.
Exactly right. Exactly right. You've had a fair few years now of being very, very good, but suffering from injury. Actually, before we go into this, are you completely healthy now?
Yeah, mate. For the first time for quite a while, you know, I'm actually not injured, which has been lovely, to be honest. Lovely to be back out running around with the boys.
And what have you had in the past? Because you have had some prolonged periods of not being in the game.
Yeah, so I struggled season before last, a couple of years ago. I had a neck issue which kind of reduced the power in my left arm, but I managed to, it wasn't really too painful, picked up a few stingers, so I managed to play the season, or half the season with this injury, and then had it done.
Mm.
as soon as the season finished. So then came back from that, which was 3 or 4 months. And then after 4 games, I dislocated my shoulder, and there was a reasonable amount wrong with it. So we kind of, it took 3 operations, and then there was some nerve damage as well. So that ended up taking me a year. So I essentially had kind of 16, 17 months out.
Wow. Well, why 3 operations?
So I think they put something back together and then missed a little bit, and then we had to go and do something else. I can't fully remember. It just didn't go smoothly. And then, as I said, they missed. They weren't quite sure what was wrong, and it ended up being that there was some reasonably decent nerve damage, which kind of masked a little bit of maybe some tears or something.
Oh, but yeah, it was basically a bit of a...
So we ended up taking a lot longer than it should have been.
Well, so you've got a shoulder injury, but because of the nerve damage, you're not realising how bad it is physically.
So, yeah, kind of. I mean, so we did the first one, and then I didn't quite get my movement back, and then started doing some more nerve conduction tests, and then realised actually this nerve is a bit more damaged than it probably was. And also, we need to go back in and do something else with the shoulder. It's not quite fixed up. So they basically said, do this first operation. Depending on how well you heal, we'll know if we need to do this other operation. And then we obviously had to do the other operation, which then led into a third and final one. But thankfully now, it's all good.
Just out of interest, how long does it take you to get your full strength back up?
It's hard. It's probably because with nerve damage, I don't know if you've encountered too much of it, it can last up to maybe 2 years, maybe a little bit more, but sometimes it doesn't even fully come back. So I'm still a little bit weaker in the left side, but yeah, it's not too bad and it's perfectly functional. I'm just not going to be getting any PBs in the gym or anything.
Yeah, no, I know shoulders can be a nightmare, and if you don't get them seen to, they just tend to nag on. Excuse the pun, but it's a real pain.
Yeah, it was. It wasn't a lot of fun. I'm not going to lie to you. It was pretty dark.
Well, now you are fully fit. It kind of feels like you're on the verge of the England team. You're at least in Eddie Jones's mind. So, how does this all come about? Do you have regular contact with England? Is there someone phoning you occasionally? How is the whole process from playing well to club and then slowly getting involved with the national team?
To be honest, I'm relatively fresh into it. So yeah, kind of found out was in the squad, did some training with those guys, obviously didn't get selected. Mako came back fit, so then I just kind of had a weekly update and feedback on how I'd played and where I was at, essentially, from Eddie and then Neil Hatley as well, obviously, on the...
Who knows you incredibly well.
Scrum side of it. Yeah, I spent... Obviously, we had Hats here for quite a few years. So, yeah, it worked. It was probably a little easier going into camp because I obviously worked with Hats for a little while. So I knew kind of roughly what he was wanting to do, at least scrum-wise, and then obviously seeing what the rest of the squad were trying to do in the other facets.
It sounds like a stupid question, SK, but when you're called up, I mean, you've played representative rugby before. Now, stupid question. I assume you know all the boys there anyway, but is there any element of kind of, well, you know, welcoming you in, bit of an introduction, hi, I'm Dylan, that kind of thing? Or is it a lot more formal?
It's pretty informal, to be honest. You've met quite a few of the guys before, played against them. So, yeah, a few handshakes, you know, say hello to everyone. And then it's almost you just need to kind of get up to speed with the rest of the squad as quickly as possible. But yeah, no, all the guys are really good. Everyone's you know, very helpful. It's a massive emphasis on learning and improving culture, and you can really see why they're successful and how they have been successful. Mm. So yeah, it was it's you need to get up to speed quickly.
When you say up to speed, do they sit you down before you go out training and say, look, these are the things that we want to do, these are things that we want to plan for and how we want to play, study this lot, and then come out and join us? Or are you just thrown straight in and you've got to learn on the fly?
A little bit of both. You get you kind of get a playbook and get all the calls and it's kind of the philosophy of what they're trying to do, but it's very different to actually seeing it on paper and having to run around and do it. So you've got to learn quickly. The first couple of sessions, I was running around like a headless chicken, and then eventually kind of trying to pick up, you know, learning how they do things and what they're trying to do.
Cool. And what do you think that they expect from that props in particular?
They talk about defensively. They want you to be able to be aggressive, and go make those kind of leg chops. They want you to be very aggressive in the rucks, very effective cleans, and then ball carrying, very again aggressive, just dynamic. Try and make the make those yards.
And are you targeted on these things? And they said, look, you're a loose head prop. You've got to be bringing me back at, you know, 10 tackles every 40 minutes or whatever it is.
I'm not sure. Yeah. So obviously, that I've not played. I know that the feedback I've received has been, listen, you need to make your breakdowns need to be more dominant, and your ball carrying needs to, you need more leg drive in it.
Really?
So yeah, so I think it depends on, I'm sure everyone's got their kind of own individual work-ons. Mm. Yeah, I'm not sure, as I said, I'm not sure if they're going to come off a game and whoever, say, Joe Marler's made 15 tackles and they say, right, you made your target at 15. I'm not sure. Couldn't tell you.
Yeah, because I know Joe Moller's got a phenomenal work rate in defence, in particular. Actually,
yeah. When I've obviously watched him play, played against him quite a few times. He's he's very good defensively.
I always wonder as well. Do you know when you get your feedback from the national coaches? When you looked at it, did it tie in with any of the feedback you get from your Bath coaches, or was it like, I didn't know that I didn't drive my legs enough in contact?
Yeah, it does. It To be honest, mate, with us front row boys, there's not that many things that we could be critiqued on. You know, our basics are essentially ball carry, tackle, clean, scrum. You know,
that's fair enough, actually.
As long as you're doing kind of that right. I mean, you can add some more into that, I suppose. But yeah, we ain't doing too many triple miss passes and anything too much else. So essentially, we just need to be dynamic and aggressive in our contacts.
Excellent. Right, let's just turn our attention to the season. We're on, like you say, the last five games. Give me who you think is going to get to the final of the Premiership, and also tell me, of all the teams that you've played this year, who has surprised you and who might we not have known about during the season as a casual fan?
So, final-wise, I think Wasps, mate, I think any of the clubs could make it, but if I had to go now from who we've played this year, I think Wasps have looked probably the most dangerous.
Oh yeah, because you had that game up in Coventry.
Coventry, they fair a few times were very lethal, and then they were very good when they came to our place recently as well. And then I'm going to have to back us to play them in the final, which of course you've got to do. Surprise package, I think. Okay, I'm going to say, I know that maybe the league place doesn't show it, but I think Worcester have got a really good set of forwards.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think they've got, I think they're some very big players, very strong. So I think they are probably, maybe a little underrated, to be honest. I think, yeah, probably the surprise package would be them.
Do you know what? I don't disagree with you there, because if you look at who they've got in the back line as well, they've got some real game breakers. They just don't seem to play in a way to utilise them that well.
Yeah, potentially. I just know that, you know, when we played them earlier on in the season, when we've got them here, you know, people were saying from the outside, you know, Worcester, you should win that game. And I just think, yeah, okay, we will be favourites for it, but I would not be underestimating that team. You know, I think they've done well in some games this year where, to be honest, I'd go around looking at scrums and I just think, who's got good scrums?
Yeah.
So I just think they're underrated, and I think they could go, maybe not this season, but in future years, if they keep that kind of core together, I think they could do well.
Yeah, well, of course, they're under the tutelage of Gary Gold now, who you know quite well. What do you think will be different under him?
I think he, obviously, I don't know their previous coach, but I think he is a hugely intense guy. And like we said about Todd, he's also a very good man. Like, he really cares about the boys. He's tough. And I think that if there's a man to kind of grind you out some victories, I think he's the guy to do it. He'll get kind of all the boys on board. The boys will all absolutely love him. And I think they'll but maybe, well, to be fair, they've done pretty well since he's come in. Might take a little bit of time to kind of fully get him, but yeah, they'll work hard for him. That's guaranteed. And he'll work unbelievably hard.
Yeah, I think you're already starting to see a little bit of this. The last time we saw him out in the Premiership was against Bristol, and they did look like a different team. Actually, they played very well the game before that. I can't remember who it was against, but they played some very nice rugby, and then they just kind of shut up shop a bit.
Yeah, he at least when he was with us, he had quite a kick game, but You know, he does it all. He uses a lot of stats and sees kind of what works and how to best play the game. But as I kind of said, he'll make them hugely physical and hugely intense, and then play in the right areas. So, yeah, I think you'll see it. They had some better results and played some good rugby. So I definitely think they'll come through. But depending on what happens with Gary and see where they go. But I think they've got some very good players and good coaches.
Excellent. Tell me, Nathan, where can we find you on social media? Where can we find what Nathan Cutts up to next?
Mate, to be honest, I've got a Twitter profile because the boys... I've got a Twitter profile, but only because the Bath boys made me a Twitter profile.
Oh, really? So is that not actually you?
And I got made a fake one, so... No, it is me, but I had to make one because they had another one. They started to build up followers and they managed to get like a little fake blue tick or something. So
did
I was
they
like,
really?
I see where this is going. So I had no input to join it. They did quite well, to be fair.
Shows that you're a popular guy?
No, mate. It's because we've done it for previous people. And then I think I was probably one of the only people in the squad that didn't have a Twitter profile. So they decided to make me one, which I didn't enjoy at all.
No,
it's quite funny, and can't complain if you do it to others.
Exactly. Out of interest, who have you done it to in the past?
Well, not me personally.
Obviously not you personally.
Yeah, we had a, let's call it a team Twitter account, which was the Dunninator.
The who?
Did you ever see any of that?
No.
So Tom Dunn,
yeah,
when he was a young academy player, we made him a Twitter profile called the Dunninator.
Nice.
And we had a lot of fun with that, which eventually got closed down by the rugby club, our club, because they didn't really want
Tom Dunn taking
to get
over
too much. Yeah, it started to get quite a lot of profile. I think we kind of have our RPA awards, and quite a few of the other players from clubs had voted for the Dunninator to be the player of the year. I don't think he even made it. He was like coming onto the pitch, and lads were like, "Watch out, the Dunninator's coming." So it was a lot of fun. We had so much fun with it. But it got shut down.
Can we still find the Dunninator now, or is it actually there's just nothing left?
I think there's nothing left. Mate, at one point it was in like top 10 parody accounts. We
really?
Went hard with it. Yeah, we went. Oh, sorry, top 10 parody accounts in rugby. Yeah, it got pushed hard. I genuinely think everyone in the squad but Tom Dunn had the password.
Wow. So, so the best parody accounts out there for rugby at the moment, it's got to be Unreal Gavin Henson.
Yeah, I like that one.
Love Unreal Gavin Henson. And there was another one. Oh, yeah, Lendrid.
Oh, I've not seen Lendrid.
Lendrid's not really in operation anymore. But I can say it. I think it was Tom Croft when he lived with Ben Youngs. And he just quoted things that Ben Youngs said. And it's brilliant.
Oh, I like that.
Oh, it is something quite special. Where can we find you on Twitter then? The real you, that is.
Nathan Cat 12345. There's not a lot of activity that happens in it, I'll be honest. I'm too scared of getting in trouble.
Well, you're a wise man, Nathan. Thank you so much for joining me today. Been a real pleasure chatting.
Lovely. Thank you very much, mate.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, where are you, the police?
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.